from Witbank, South Africa. That's trumpeter, flugelhornist, cornetist, composer, and singer Hugh Ramopolo Masekela with 10 Minutes Older, The Trumpet. It's his contribution to a 2002 project in which 15 artists were asked to interpret the meaning of time in 10 minutes of film. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we return to yesterday's discussion about the Green Party's puzzling demand for vote recounts in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Dr. Jill Stein, the party's 2016 presidential candidate, who garnered 1% of the national vote and zero electoral votes, filed court actions to force the recounts, even though support for the party in those three states was very, very low, and in fact was expected to be very, very low. The battle in all states essentially was between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton. All other parties barely registered on the election vote radar. In the targeted recount states, however, the margin of victory between Trump and Clinton was slim. Intimating that the Green Party has reason to believe that both the votes and the voting process might have been compromised in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, although no complaints officially had been filed, Stein says that the recounts are meant to, quote, protect the integrity, unquote, of the voting process. In this effort, the recounts are being funded by donors and supporters. The cash-strapped party has raised $7.1 million of the $9.5 million they hope to raise to cover the cost. But while Stein is touting this as proof of brisk support for her and this just-launched vote integrity project, both she and the party are now embroiled in a firestorm of criticism, and questions abound. Why must the Green Party undertake this effort when it has nothing to gain, really, from it, and it is quite expensive? Why not use that money to do something else, to build the party, for example? What's behind these actions, considering that the states identified by the Green Party and by Stein for vote recounts have one thing in common, and that is the states in which there were just small margins between the votes gotten by Trump and the votes gotten by Clinton. And it just happened that in all three states, although the margin was small, it was Trump who prevailed in all three states. Now, Clinton herself had not called for a recount. Very strategically, she instead said, after conceding defeat to Trump, she instead said that she supports the Green Party effort. And that now opens up a whole new can of worms. Is Jill Stein fronting for Hillary Clinton and trying in some way, indirectly or directly, to cause a bigger recount, a broad recount to take place that could possibly give Clinton an advantage in terms of electoral votes? She already has won the popular vote by more than 2.5 million, but that is not what counts in the election of the president. It is the electoral college votes, and Trump has a decisive lead in that respect, which is why despite the fact that, you know, she had all these votes, Hillary Clinton had gotten all these popular votes, she nevertheless had to concede. And of course, she conceded after, I'm sure, a battalion of lawyers had gone through all of the voting records and could find no way to make a credible argument for causing a recount in order to prove that she won the electoral vote as well. So we had quite a few calls yesterday that didn't get through. And so today we will return to the discussion to accommodate those people who didn't get in yesterday. All right, the number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Henry from Chicago, you start off the discussion today.
Hey, Trey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Doing good. I know I'm my manners are not appropriate, but I wanted to say hello to also the PRN audience and to your show as well. So
That's such a nice thing. Very nice when it's done. Thank you.
But and apologies for my crude manners when I call. So, but
this is fine. This is great. We're all family here.
All right. Well, you look at this situation, and you say it doesn't make any sense for her to put all this money, put all this effort, Dr. Jill Stein, in this recount because, you know, just like you stated yesterday, you know, either way it goes, she's not going to win. And either way it goes, even if the state's overturned, I don't think Hillary is even going to win. And it looks like it's crazy. You know, some people say it's kind of stupid to do this. But my assumption is this, because when you look at all these political figures here, I don't think anybody is politically ignorant, all right? There has to be some sort of there's some sort of a plot or plan here. And the question is, who benefits is the question we're trying to all answer, all right? So the one thing that I always look at is the $7 million that they raised. Now, this $7 million is twice as much as what the Green Party raised in their initial campaign for the presidency. So, you know, my question is, where are they getting all this extra money from? And to me, it does seem kind of fishy that they raise all this money in a matter of days or weeks or whatever, and they couldn't even muster that much, you know, during the election campaign. So I have to assume that Jill Stein is getting some sort of help from the Democratic Party in this election recount. Now, who is it benefiting? Well, I look at it from two sides. All right, so maybe they might have offered her this money or offered the Green Party this money to say, hey, you know, if you do this, then, you know, maybe this can bring Jill out front, you know, more to the press. So maybe the next time she can get the, you know, presidential candidacy. But it also doesn't tarnish, I guess, say Hillary's image, because then, you know, if Hillary comes out, then, you know, it just basically makes her look like she has sour grapes and, you know, she's just upset. So, you know, it's a question that I'm kind of like, you know, trying to figure out myself. And it's a very good question that you bring up, too, as well, in regards to, you know, why would the Green Party, if they have this type of money, why would they spend it on a recount? Because if you're really looking for election integrity, you know, instead of doing a recount, why don't you, you know, look more into election reforms or even putting those resources and maybe doing, you know, maybe trying to eliminate, you know, the Electoral College, which to me within itself is, you know, is election fraud anyway. So I would put my resources and time into, you know, trying to eliminate the Electoral College, you know.
Maybe even say, rather than talk about looking for a recount, fund voter suppression issues.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true as
before
well.
The election, if you had it in mind to do something like this, it is not the recount of the vote that is the major issue here. It is the fact that so many voters, so many votes were suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not talking about that.
Yep.
Jill Stein is not talking about voter suppression. And this this legal move that she's made is not even being approached with a certainty that they have absolute evidence that these things have happened, that the integrity of the vote was compromised. And here we have 20 examples. They have, she admitted, they have no real evidence so far. This effort is actually a kind of fact-finding mission. They're funding an effort to find out if their premise that there was massive voter fraud, if their premise holds up. I can't wrap my brain around this as logic for going to the expense and the trouble of a lawsuit that would take up so much time and deprive the organization of resources it needs to grow. But you got us started. Thanks so much for calling in. Thanks, Henry.
All right, thank you.
We go to Florida. Ray, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello.
Boy, to continue on some of the points you were making yesterday, not only did Jill Stein's running mate not back her, but the executive committee of the Green Party said, no, 5-3, I believe they voted, do not do this recount, and she ignored them. And they also made a statement that whether or not, you know, Stein and her recount was directly helping the Democrats, that even the appearance of doing anything to help the Democratic Party completely undermined. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Listening very intently.
Okay. That even the appearance of helping the Democratic Party, if there was no intent, served to undermine the Greens. Then I found a video by Luke Rutkowski of WeAreChange.org. And I haven't seen this with my own eyes, but he says that the fine print of the donation form for this recount stated that any funds that were left over after the recount was completed went to Jill Stein's private foundation. And somewhere Charles Ortel is saying, what? Another foundation? And then there's the issue of, she's sucking all the oxygen out of the room on this very questionable effort when, you know, we need to look at the fact that electronic voting machines have proprietary software that cannot be reviewed, that this has been the issue since at least 2000, that there's been no sort of constitutional examination of this issue, but people are going to be so tired of the word recount by the time this is all over that once again, there's going to be no comprehensive look in this country at the dirty deeds that are possible with electronic voting machines and the fact that they leave no record and the fact that the software is proprietary. So that is, you know, that's just awful.
Well, so, yeah. Why? You're correct about that. Ajamu Baraka made it very clear, very publicly clear, that he opposed this move, and he opposed it for just the reasons that you just said, that the Green Party should have no link at all or should not be seen as helping the Democratic Party. In fact, quite the opposite. The Green Party is supposed to be seen as the antithesis of the Democratic Party. So to have Hillary Clinton, you know, riding the coattails of this recount, not putting a penny in the pot, as far as we know, and just the same, having already conceded that she lost. And one would add to that or surmise that she lost, quote, fair and square, according to the rules, the same rules that got her husband 2 terms, the same rules that got Barack Obama 2 terms. It's just the rules haven't changed. It's the Electoral College vote that you have to worry about when in the final analysis you're looking to see who will be president. So in that sense, it went according to the rules. Now, in a recount, it is inevitable because a lot of the votes came in late. Some votes were overseas votes, so they came in late. But here's the thing. All votes, in order to be counted by the Electoral College, have to be in hand. These votes have to be certified by the 13th. It's curious that the Green Party and Dr. Stein would orchestrate this legal effort at a time when it is doubtful. I mean, it's going to be a real mad dash to the deadline to meet that deadline. And I'm wondering, I don't know what you think about it, whether this was calculated to ask for recounts in these states where the undertaking would be so massive, which is why they're charging so much money, and under such a stringent deadline, that there's a great possibility they may not meet the deadline. And what does that mean? It means that if Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan disqualify, those electoral votes disqualified, that gives Hillary Clinton a fighting chance. And in that sense, one could ask, is Jill Stein helping this effort along? What do you think?
Well, whenever the Clintons go quiet on an issue that they could speak out on, I think one of two things. They're either dodging something that will make them, that will cast them in a very bad light, or they're plotting and scheming some more. So I'm kind of assuming the plotting and scheming thing. But I also remember that in Hillary's concession speech, it was hard to miss the fact that her eyes were not tracking in parallel. And that's, you know, as Dr. Noel pointed out, is a big tell for Parkinson's. So I'm not inclined to wish ill health on anybody, but, you know, maybe she's just, maybe the answer number three is she's just plum tuckered out.
I'm trying to find what the motivation. I mean, we know what Jill Stein has said the motivation is.
Yeah.
Is it convincing to you that the motivation here is to protect the integrity of the vote, though nobody had raised any official complaint that there was massive tampering of the vote?
Michigan was a paper ballot, correct?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you know, when I voted, I left some fields blank because if I didn't want either candidate in a given race, I would just leave the fields blank. And there were 75, some people say 90,000 ballots in Michigan where people voted on local ballot measures and county commissioner or whatnot, but they left the presidential fields blank. Now, Stein is holding this up as evidence of some sort of malfeasance, we know from the national discussion and from national polls that there were so many people who were so disgusted with Trump and with Clinton that maybe they just said, okay, I'm going to leave the presidential fields blank and just, you know, vote for a school lunch lady. I mean, sometimes the simplest explanation can be correct.
Well, I know that this is why it warrants a hand count. And again, I'm watching the deadline date. You know, it's already the 6th of December. That doesn't leave very much time to meet that December 13th deadline to finish off all of this accounting for votes, not only in Michigan, but in Wisconsin and in Pennsylvania. So we'll see. There's something happening here. I think we're sniffing around and we know there's something here that warrants deeper examination. And maybe that's a good thing. We just did the first stage of it. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing. Sean from West Chester, you're on the air.
Hi, Trace.
Hello.
I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, Jill is doing this because she's just exposing both sides of the fraud on both the Democratic and the Republican side. I mean, we are all fans of democracy. I think we can all agree on that. And if we really want to say that we live in a democratic society, we need to revamp. We need to change this electoral system. But before that, I know, like you were saying before, you know, do we have proof? I mean, what happened in New York was a disgrace. It was obvious voter fraud. And I think there's fraud on both sides so that they both really don't want to say anything, meaning Trump and Hillary. I think Hillary just doesn't want to be exposed. And I think all Jill is doing is saying, look, it doesn't matter how much money we spend or how much money I was given, none of the major networks were going to put me on, and I was never going to be able to get to a debate. So why not just go after the electoral system, shine a light on it, show everybody how corrupt it is, and then maybe we have a chance to get some votes in 4 years from now, because it doesn't matter. You know, a broken system is going to just manufacture the same crappy results that we got this year.
But that leaves open, I mean, what you're saying may be true or may actually be a good explanation for what we're witnessing. But in the end, you have to factor in this issue, which is this is an election year. And election years are not about teaching people lessons. You're not there to perform an altruistic good. You're there to win. You're in the race to win. And it's interesting that in making this argument about protecting the integrity of the vote, you choose three states. In all of them, Trump won, but by a slim margin. Here's what I found this morning from the Washington Post. The title is Things You Need to Know About Third Party Candidates, How Third Party Candidates Did in 2016. And they said, I was stunned by it, actually. What if we add the entire Stein vote to Clinton's total in these states? The states talking, they're referring to include Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Florida and Arizona. But they were specific about Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Here's what they said. What if we add the entire Stein vote to Clinton's total in these states? This would have flipped the outcome in Michigan with 16 electoral votes and Wisconsin with 10 electoral votes and left Clinton just 19,234 votes short as of this writing in Pennsylvania, which had 20 electoral votes, a margin she might have overcome without Johnson, that's the Libertarian candidate, in the race. Adding the first two states to Clinton's column would give her 258 electoral votes, while Trump would have 280. Adding Pennsylvania would have put Clinton over the top, 278 to 260. Now, that is a really incredible thing to say. It's not even the top of the whole article. It's buried in the article, but it screamed at me because they're talking about the states that Jill Stein selected as the targets for this recount. And now the Washington Post is saying today in this article that it could have gone differently in favor of Clinton if the votes panned out a little bit differently. Does this sound like it might be a frightening possibility to you, that maybe there's something here to this question of whether the Green Party, whether advertently or inadvertently, was playing into the hands of Hillary Clinton or playing ball with Hillary Clinton here?
I don't know. I have faith that the Green Party is on the right side of truth. And as far as, you know, teaching us a lesson, Ralph Nader tried to teach us, but he didn't have the internet. So I think we have now more than ever more of an opportunity. You know, people will post this, and when all this election fraud is exposed, you know, people will talk about it. So in 4 years, it's going to take a really naive country of a lot of, you know, a lot of us don't listen. You know, a lot of people don't listen to PRN and don't listen to the truth. And so, you know, the mass media is still controlling all this. Hey, I just want to just touch on what you were talking about a month ago about our shadow government that we need to start creating. Whereas I just don't believe the polls. I mean, and I don't think anybody who listens to your show does. I believe that the Green Party got a lot more votes. But, hey, how are we calculating that? If we can't even calculate A, B, or C, and how can we trust anything? So, again, I feel it just goes back to no matter what the electoral votes were or any of that nonsense, it's all still not counted properly. So let's just get back to the basics. I mean, don't school teachers grade thousands of tests constantly? I mean, can we just do like a CTVS test? I mean, how hard is it to count votes? And so obviously both sides are knee-deep in the fraud, and they just don't want us to know, because the only true enemy is a third party to the other parties. That's the only thing that's going to get this country back on track. We'll start serving the needs of the many and not the 1%. I can't really speak to Michigan and Pennsylvania, but I think that makes total sense, and I'm all about it. I think Jill has the right thing in mind.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see how others react to what you offered today. Thank you very much, Sean, for calling in. From New Jersey, Pam, you're on the air. What are your thoughts? Pam, are you there? Okay, Pam isn't there. So we go to Chris from New York City.
Oh, hi, Utrice.
Hello.
Hi. I didn't listen to your program yesterday, unfortunately, because I just tuned in today a little bit later after you started, and I heard what you were discussing, and it's a real thorn in my side as well. I find myself feeling exactly as you expressed about yourself, that you're just baffled that she would, that Jill Stein would initiate this at this moment in time. And I, first of all, normally I would support, I mean, I voted for her. I don't mind telling you that. I mean, I wanted to give a little value to my vote. I certainly wasn't going to vote for either of the two candidates. And had she not been on there, I would not have voted for Hillary Clinton under any circumstances or Donald Trump. So the presumption that the part of the suggestion is they had done this even years ago when it was with Al Gore, and they blamed it on the fact that he lost it because of Ralph Nader. The idea that, you see, this is what it is when people are in power for a long time. They get into this smug position, and the idea that they would expect that because some people, some voters, are not for either of the two candidates, that they would automatically vote for that person if there were not that third choice. And I just find that almost insulting at this point in time, in a way, because what you read about I'm not familiar with the Post article that you just read. It's really very interesting. Because I also questioned why Jill Stein was doing that at this time. If this should have been done, it should have been done before the results were in. Because then you're saying, well, I'd like, you know, this, they haven't been completely counted. Why, first of all, I don't know, maybe you know the answer to the question, why does it take so long to count, especially if they're paper ballots, in Michigan? Why were we getting results continuously for the next 3 weeks after the election? I don't understand that, why it took so long. Because I understand that according to what they say, that Clinton was like 2 million popular votes. So that I don't understand in and of itself. Why did it take so long? I mean,
well, you do have votes that come in late. You have votes that come in from overseas, expatriates,
okay,
or people who are abroad during the time of the election. You have people in the military. Their votes come in late. You have people who use paper ballots or the substitute ballots, which are counted differently. There are all kinds of reasons as to why votes come in late. But the bulk of the votes are basically current.
Right.
They do leave room for adjustments because in every election, they leave room for the late votes, but they use the as a guide of who will win or who wins or who loses. They use as a guide all of the votes that are available at election time, on election day.
Right.
And they have mathematical formulas for basically kind of gauging with the addition of those votes how the total might be affected. So that's how they count them.
Okay, the point is that, first of all, one would even ask the question, why is the system done in such a way that so many votes, in spite of the fact that the result would not change because of the electorates, okay, in a country like in other words, these votes really don't, I mean, essentially don't even matter to the election. Because they wouldn't have made a difference. And the fact that we have to get the result after the determination has already been made is an issue. I mean, that's an issue in and of itself for me. But the other thing is that I also questioned, because there was a part of me that said, well, gee, you know, you have these democratic instincts and you should be glad that she's doing this. At the same time, I found it very bizarre. First of all, for the amount of money that she raised, it was $6 million, I think, the last I saw.
Well, and I thought it's up to 7.1, going on to 7.2.
Even more. And she was on Democracy Now! When she first decided to do this, and I hadn't seen the entire program, but I saw the section where she was asked, where did you get the funding from? Something to that effect. And she said, well, it came from individual donors. They were all individual donors, I believe she said, right? Now, I find her to be, she seems to be an honest person. I don't think that, you know, I mean, from what I've seen, but that's a lot of money to amass in such a short amount of time, you know, to engage something like this. And I heard, not on that program, but I believe I was, I don't remember what I was watching, and they had someone, I think it was on RT, and someone mentioned that that George Soros, she had funding from George Soros. Now,
well,
I
in fact,
take that,
so has Democracy Now.
Well, I kind of take
Soros,
that with a grain of salt. I'll tell you very honestly, and I don't like to. I mean, I wouldn't assign that kind of. I would be very sorry if I ever learned that that was the case, because I would be very sorry at my own judgment of the person that I voted for. But. I thought to myself, it kind of made sense only in the sense that that amount of money in such a short time, I can't digest it completely. You know what I mean? There's something strange about it.
Well, this is why we're talking about it. The idea is that there's something, we have an instinctive feeling.
Exactly.
That there's something here that is just not really ringing true. It's upsetting. We can't exactly point to what it is precisely, but we are uncomfortable with this for a couple of reasons. And basically, this is just to give us an idea of what might people be thinking about a party that should be involved in other things at this particular point. We're all concerned, it seems to be. I think everybody's concerned about the integrity of the vote. We saw that, you know, the vote was blatantly tampered with in a way that denied Bernie Sanders his shot.
Exactly.
We didn't hear any outrage. We didn't see any move for a recount. We didn't see a demand that the Democratic Party basically move in the direction of protecting the party vote, even.
Precisely.
So that this should happen now and happen in this way, given what people would think that the party automatically would understand as their immediate duties with the election just having been concluded and with the result, which is devastating, in my view, for the Green Party. It didn't move beyond 1%, which is, to me, shameful.
And you know what, Therese, excuse me, I just need to throw this in there. You just hit the nail on the head. From my point of view, that should be the issue. The fact that during the primaries, okay, the fact that Bernie Sanders, unfortunately, whom I have voted for, and I really liked him a lot because he was really speaking on the issues, that count, with all good intentions, should have been done before the primary ended. Now, she might have won anyway, the delegates, but that's not the point. Then Jill Stein's argument about the integrity in voting would apply very much to that, because that left a lot of people with a very sour taste in their mouths, and especially people who supported Bernie Sanders. And they did not do that. So the argument here should be on everyone's, even on the other side. I would think that this is the argument that you would make. Well, why are you doing this now if you didn't do it during the primary when it was really called for under the circumstances? Because we know that many of those states that he won, caucus after caucus, state after state, and the delegates were going to her. And I can't get that out of my system. This is what really turned me off with the Democratic Party as it stands today, at least the elite of them, is that I don't understand even these people on TV, even hosts on RT, okay? I don't understand why they didn't make that as a focus. Because this is what needed to be brought out, that the fact that you did not do it when it should have been done, okay, and now you're not accepting, essentially, really, you're actually saying that you are questioning the results of the election and you're really negating the entire result of the election.
And you're doing so... acknowledging the fact that you have no evidence of this happening. And you're doing so against the wishes of people within the party. The party is now divided.
Exactly.
You have just created a cleavage within the party itself. People wondering, I mean, what are you thinking? Since when is it the Green Party's duty in the immediate aftermath of an election with such devastating results that you will take on this altruistic assignment to protect, quote, the integrity of the vote? You should be trying to figure out what happened to your vote. You should be trying to figure out where did it go? What went wrong? How do we correct this? And then you have Hillary Clinton. You provided a way to open the door to let her back in. And even though she is, of course, downplaying it, she's not taking a leadership role here at all, but a supportive role. You have the Green Party now assuming responsibility for financing this entire effort.
Right.
And doing so with money that it desperately needs to get its act, its house in order. So from so many points of view, and by the way, Hillary Clinton never has, since the election, since losing it, she conceded, and she has not raised this. The person with the most to gain here has not raised this as an issue. But instead, we have the Green Party taking the lead, in a sense, providing a new platform for Hillary Clinton now to just come back through the door that we saw her just walk out of and have slammed behind her. So in so many ways, this is just mind-boggling.
It is.
Thanks so much for your call.
Absolutely mind-boggling. Thank you.
Thank you. From New York, Kwame, you're on the air.
Hi, Patrice. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. What are your thoughts? about the Green Party financing this effort?
You know, first of all, I mean, you would think that the Green Party has become moveon.org. I mean, you know, Move On, the group Move On.
Yes.
You know, which is a front group of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
You would think by Jill Stein doing this, that's what it's turned into. I'm very suspicious of Mrs. Stein's motives on this whole issue. And is it a possibility that she's trying to collect some money into the Green Party's coffers for some other reason?
Well, she has made it very clear that whatever donations come in to fund this recount effort will not be put into the party's coffers. It's in a segregated account. She said that.
Right. Okay. But it doesn't, I mean, but it, the whole thing doesn't make, first of all, this is a person who is a critic of the Clinton administration. I mean, what Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, the whole hell way America was going. And now it's like she become a savior for the same politics that she basically, it says she abhors. But she's going to come up a savior for that same person? I don't understand it. And my thing is that chickens come home to roost because the Democrats had no problem in what they did to Bernie Sanders. And I'm not saying Bernie Sanders is perfect at all because we all have gripes with him. But it doesn't make any sense at all. And it makes the Green Party look really stupid. It makes them look like a party that's not worth supporting.
What do you think should happen now? The request's already in. The recount has already begun. We're facing a December 13th deadline. If these deadlines are not met, right, then the Electoral College will disregard these electoral votes. Now, do you think Jill Stein has in mind that, in a way, if this happens, she will have to bear some responsibility for causing a candidate who ran in the election to lose his victory?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely I think she would. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, because it's the process. The process was agreed upon by both candidates. It was agreed upon by Ms. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump when they both ran against each other. How do you reverse this situation now?
By a party that had no dog in the fight. This was not your...
Right, right.
That has nothing to do with you.
I mean, and this is the same, on one end you had the Democrats who had no problem in cheating against Bernie Sanders, and then you have the Green Party who basically, as you have perfectly made it clear, we need to get their act together. They're not ready for presidential politics.
Well, thank you for your call today. Finish your sentence, though. Okay, you're gone. All right, let's talk some more. 888-874-4888. We have Cece from New Jersey.
Thank you so much, Eutrice. Can you hear me well?
Yes, can hear you very well.
Great. First of all, I want to say that you are greatly appreciated, liked, and loved.
Oh, thank you for that.
I do have to make a correction. You're welcome. I've just made a correction from my last call, and that is you are one of the greatest shows on Earth. So I have to allow that. Yeah, I had to correct that. But you're right there in the top seven.
Well, thank you.
I must say that, yeah.
Thank you. I'll take it and run with
great,
it.
Great. I'm going to keep delivering that because it's true to me. I'm offering a little contrast here. I think this is the greatest thing that has happened motion and promotion wise since Bernie. And I'll tell you why. And today is the day that I make my donation to the Green Party, Jill Stein. Woody Allen says 80% of success is showing up, and someone else said 80% of motion is promotion. Now, we learned from Donald Trump about promotion. Even the ridiculous has gotten him to where we know he is. I'm in the process of trusting the process here, and this is getting Jill Stein exposure, media like never before. 7,000, 9,000, 17,000, I mean 7 million, 9 million, 17 million. It doesn't make a difference to the people that want her to be in the catbird seat. So the fact that she has separated from other minds within the Green Party, this is how it is when you are at the helm or you're the leader. There are going to be people that won't see it. And within their own consciousness, in her consciousness, this could be a lark, it could be a gut, it could be her intuition. But intuitively for me, I see wonderful. I'm supporting this because she's bringing attention to something that we all know is broken. We all know it's crooked. We all know it's rigged. We didn't need Bernie to tell us in the beginning and Donald to second it. We know it is. So whatever happens or doesn't happen, it really doesn't matter that much because everybody knows the there's no honor among thieves. The Republicans and Democrats know. Hillary knows. Okay? And we don't get the whispering. Who's whispering? Who whispered to Bernie? Who whispered to Hillary to concede the way she did? There's the whispering going on because we know that these are the puppets and they're the puppeteers. Now, here is Jill raising this money. There's millions. There's billions of dollars for Jill Stein right now because we're needing to donate and keep the momentum of the donation going.
But the donation has nothing to do with the party.
Oh, I agree.
And she, and well, she's made that very clear. The donations right. have to do with funding the yeah. recount effort. And
that's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is coming already at a very high cost. And the cost is fractioning the party. People are now in different camps on this very question, and she is the reason. It appears that she did not consider the advice she got, even from her running mate, even from the vice presidential candidate, who was very clear about his opposition to this move, and for very specific reasons. He said, for example, this would be interpreted by the public as a very uncomfortable coziness between the Green Party and the Democratic Party, and that should never happen. Number two, he said, the party has other priorities right now. It should have other priorities right now. And number three, you would notice voter suppression is in nowhere to be seen in all of this. They're just talking about, well, let's verify the vote. If you want to take on the fight on the side of voter suppression and rooting it out, because that is where a major part of the voter fraud has occurred. And now we have the question, who is Jill Stein listening to within the party? What is the structure within the party that allows a, quote, leader to just take unilateral action? The ruling committee was not for it. The vice presidential candidate was not for it. And several members, many members within the party, were not for it. And they were very clear about that. You just go ahead and you do your thing. Now, that raises the question, how does the decision-making process work within this party? So that there seems to be no way to put the leader, quote-unquote, in check. In fact, is it a party where you have one leader, and the leader does as she sees fit, no matter what other people think? Is it that kind of a thing that passes for governance within the Green Party. I think this is a very serious question. And ultimately, it moves away from the central task right now for what the party ought to be doing. It ought to be doing a lot of introspection right now. It ought to be concerned with the devastating results that it just saw in the last election. It ought to be answering questions about where it's going wrong, what it's doing wrong. How do you account for the fact that on this issue, you intend to raise 9.5 million, you're 7.2 million on the way. It's a sexy thing and it's getting a lot of traction, but we ought to know by now, as seasoned political types, this is fleeting. Tomorrow, well, the media could get up and lop your head off and never report on another thing again. You have no control over that.
True.
And you're getting a lot of attention, but you're getting a lot of attention that is coming at a very, very high cost. Your home base is now in serious turmoil. You have a near riot brewing. So, yeah, you're getting great coverage outside, and you also are responsible for shattering your own house. That doesn't make sense.
Well, let me respond by saying that, voter suppression, you and I know the depth of it. We know how long. We know why. And unfortunately, in this day and time in media, that dog, as they say, won't hunt. Okay, that product doesn't sell. So getting attention on in that area, or even focusing on putting money in that area, I don't think it'll attract money. What's attracting money is that someone stood up and said, let's go in, because we were thinking it. We were thinking. We were told it was rigged by Bernie. We were told by Donald it was rigged. The next thing is that the understanding, most of the people are afraid, and it is something to be afraid that this may be the wrong move. But that's how leadership is. That's how the individual mind works who is at the helm. And so she's taking that risk. I'm with the risk. And, whatever she ends up with financially or does not, I'm still with it all the way, because as far as I can see, she, and I'll say one thing before I say that. The 1%, I'm with the gentleman who called earlier. I don't believe that it's 1%. Whatever they fix it to be, that's what we buy, and then we promote it and expose it and duplicate it and so forth and so on. But the point is that I've made a decision after what I saw happen to Bernie, and I went with Jill. And I'm with Jill because I don't see anything better. Something better comes along, I'll be with that. But this is where my money is going. This is where my energy and my effort's going. So I'm not afraid. And that's really the key, because in the end, we make the wrong decision. You make the wrong decision. You make the wrong decision. Wrong decision. You're going to make the right decision eventually. And if the people are trusting you and believing, and I trust that she's smarter, enough not to get in cahoots with the Democratic Party or Hillary team, because that would be demise in my mind.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but
yes.
Keep in mind, it wasn't that something happened to Bernie. Something was caused to happen to Bernie, and that was the movement. He didn't build it. Let's be real clear. He did not build. That was not his movement. The movement was built around him, and he was the singular beneficiary of that, and then chose to betray it. This is all his decision.
Well, I definitely
he did
agree
not
with you.
Consult yeah. with this movement to say, "Hey guys, you think I should go throw in the towel with the Democrats?" He never asked anybody for that.
Oh yeah,
he made all the quote important decisions by himself, and.
Yeah.
On the back of the thrust that the movement afforded him. So we also have to keep these things in mind. But we'll wait and see how this pans out, particularly not on the outside. I'm not concerned about the PR and all of that stuff. I'm concerned about what's happening on the inside and what's happening to the party as a result of what seems to be a reckless decision by Jill Stein. And it is going to have major effect, major ripple effects within the party. And this is how parties end up dying, because sometimes the leadership just would not heed the message of their own folks. So we'll see. Yes. That brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for your very thoughtful opinions. I really appreciate it. And I like the idea that we should be feeling free to talk about these things without, you know, being, quote, correct, or, you know, feeding into some established line. We have minds, and we should be very free to express our thoughts and opinions. We should also give some time to see what the party does, what Dr. Stein does, and what the ripple effects will be. Are we witnessing the strengthening of this party or the dissolution of this party? We shall see. Coming up next, The Infectious Myth with David Crowe. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories, at gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.